Friends, grace to you and peace from God our Parent, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. Thank you for your wonderful hospitality thus far, being the first service and getting to hang out with Sunday school and catechism or confirmation. What's our terminology here?
We use catechism.
Okay, I was on the right track there. It was fun to be with you there this morning. Good to be here in our second service. It's a blessing to be able to come out in the midst of congregations. As Pastor Jen said, I am the university pastor at Capital University and Trinity Lutheran Seminary. Been doing that since about November of last year. So I still am not even in place a full year yet. My wife, Michelle, who's in the back, and I have been settling in slowly but surely to Ohio weather. We spent the last 9 years in the South, and we got accustomed to what we like to call nice weather. And so we are returning back to places of winter and snow and all of that stuff, and we are thrilled to be back in doing work with college ministry and seminary, and it's just a really great thing for us. I am somewhat impressed and disturbed that the Holy Spirit would make Consecration Sunday also the Sunday where we get one of the most difficult passages in all of Scripture to preach on, which is, of course, the divorce passage, right? So just talk to us about money and divorce for a while. Is that okay? You're new. You're fresh. You just do that for us, okay? But they're important conversations, right? They're conversations that are significant, that have play in our lives, in our congregational lives, in our personal lives. And so we're going to give them some real attention, some real detail this morning. We talk about stewardship. I heard about your stewardship focus this summer in the book of Acts. So you already have this understanding of what stewardship is and what a steward is. My favorite image of a steward comes from a book series and a movie series called Lord of the Rings. How many of you have seen or heard of this? All right, so I'm not alone. Good. For those of you that haven't, there's one character in this series called the Steward of Gondor, and he is supposed to sit in place of the king, the rightful king, and rule until the king returns, because that's what a steward does. A steward doesn't actually rule. A steward doesn't own anything. A steward doesn't even have any real power, but instead exercises the power, utilizes the resources, and cares for the people of the proper king, the proper queen, the proper authority, whoever that person is. Unfortunately for the characters in The Lord of the Rings, and unfortunately for his children, the Steward of Gondor, not a great steward. Instead of releasing authority to the rightful king who returns, he tries to keep the throne for himself, ends up killing many of his own subjects in an unnecessary war and losing his own son. So stewardship is an important thing because stewardship has life and death consequences for the Steward of Gondor. And for us, it has real consequences in terms of our congregational life, in terms of the impact of the God-given ministries that we have here in Ohio. What's the problem with the Steward of Gondor ultimately is the steward lost sight of his role. Rather than reflect that true king, the steward reflects that selfish ambition. As Pastor Jen tells me, as we see on the wall, as we see here with all of the evidence of stewardship, you all are vested in stewardship of using God's resources for the good of God's people. So these blankets are going to go out to bless people in need. These school kits are going to go out to help students in need. These personal care kits that may end up on the coasts of North and South Carolina, where Michelle and I spent a good part of the last decade. These kinds of things make a real difference because they show that we are invested in using the time and talent and treasure that God has given us for the good of God's people, and especially for meeting the needs of the most vulnerable people in our society. Because you see, that is the gospel, the good news of God in Christ for us this morning, that God has made us stewards. That Jesus, in the resurrection, not only provided us with salvation, though that's a big deal, I'm a fan. Are we fans of salvation here? Yes? Okay, good. Me too. But in his departure, left us as stewards. Left us as the ones to utilize the authority of forgiveness, to utilize the resources of the church, to utilize the mission of God's kingdom to bring blessing to all people who need it. That is good news, not just for us, but good news for the whole world. In our gospel today, We see Jesus encouraging stewardship in a very different kind of way, or at least not in a money way, not in a tangible resources way, but instead in a relationship way. Stewardship in marriage and stewardship with children. Many times people use the words of Jesus in relation to divorce from this passage as a club, as a hard and fast rule intended to shame people into staying in unhealthy relationships. I want to say clearly right now, that is not what Jesus is doing. In fact, both with spouses and with children, Jesus is encouraging his listeners to be good stewards of those relationships. And in particular, good stewards with those who have less power, less influence, or less opportunity in society. What do I mean by that? You see, in the first century, Jesus's listeners would have considered women less than men. I don't know if you ever have experienced this, ladies. No one looks at you that way anymore, right? Unfortunately, this is still a deep-seated reality that too many people face. But in the first century, not only was it a cultural expectation, but it was in fact legalized because women weren't allowed to own property. Women weren't allowed to own businesses. And once a woman was married off, she had a legal and full separation from her family. So if she were to get divorced, she had no one with obligation to care for her. So in other words, a divorce meant abject poverty and likely death for women. So when Jesus says divorce is a real bad thing, what Jesus is saying is there is no cause for divorce because we are called to be good stewards of our relationships. And if we divorce women in that way, it's going to put them at massive risk of their very lives. So in our day, women can, and by the way, should be allowed to do things like own businesses and own property. We can see that there are terrors of things like relationship violence that make divorce no longer an immediate death sentence. Instead, there are sometimes, because of the violence that is at risk in some marriages, that divorce actually promotes abundant life. Not at all times. That doesn't mean divorce is a universal good. Instead, what it means is Jesus argued for the preservation of abundant life. Jesus argued for the stewardship of those relationships that made sure no one was at risk of death. After all, as Genesis says, it's not good for us to be alone or at risk of harm. So Jesus encourages his listeners to not put people at unnecessary risk of death. And in the same way, Jesus centers these children who come and seek a blessing from him as people deserving of God's grace. That seems obvious to us, well, because who doesn't love kids, right? Kids are cute. Kids are fun. Kids have more energy than we do, and so we try to draw as much energy as possible from them, so we are re-energized. But you see, in Jesus' society, children were considered inconsequential, if not worthless, because children aren't as strong as adults, nor as durable, nor as intelligent, and they're much more reliant on others to meet their basic needs. So children, especially small ones, were viewed as burdens rather than blessings to Jesus' listeners. That's what they would see when children came up for a blessing. So Jesus does nothing other than turning that logic on its head, saying that children are not valued because of their productivity, but instead because they are innocent, because they exude joy, because they see the value of God's kingdom at the front end. So God's kingdom belongs to those who we see as worthless, precisely because they are reflecting a different value, because God values them as integral, invaluable parts of God's kingdom. So to ignore the presence and needs of those people that might otherwise be unproductive is not the act of a Christian steward, because Christian stewards aren't focused on other people's productivity. They're focused on God's blessings as they're intended for others. So today on Consecration Sunday, as you take time to set aside the works and offerings of stewards and declare them for God's purposes, imagine what that means, to actually set aside the money that God has released into your care, the time that God has given you to live, the talents and skills that God has given you to learn and utilize. If we understand ourselves as stewards, then we understand that we return to God what God has first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of God's gracious love. When we consecrate those things, when we make them holy, when we set them apart, we see them with their God-given holiness. Indeed, that's what Jesus calls us to do with spouses and with children, to see them as divine representations, inherently worthy, because God has made them worthy. So as you consecrate these gifts, as you set them apart for God's purposes, I want you to remember something. This is not a one-time event. I mean, we only have consecration one Sunday a year, so you can come back next week. I won't be here talking about money and divorce again. You'll be fine. But consecration is not a one-time event. Because as God's stewards, every time we choose to do things like donate instead of buying the latest gadgets for personal use, we are consecrating gifts to God's purposes. And every time we choose to use our free time in service of shelters, in service of meals, in service of meeting the needs of those who need it most, instead of binging the latest show on Netflix, you consecrate your time for God's purposes. Every time you choose a job at a nonprofit or somewhere where you're going to make much less money because you know it's going to make a greater impact on the world, you consecrate your talents for God's purposes. Stewards are people who consecrate things every single day. Everything that they encounter, every relationship that they have for God's purposes. Because stewards are people who don't just shout with the psalmist, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." Though that's fun, and we should do that. But they're the people who live in ways that reflect God's majesty to everyone who's looking at them. So today, set aside the best of who you are and what you have in ways that bring glory to God, in ways that bring abundant life to people that we otherwise write off in our society. As you think about the ways you will use your time and talents and treasure, ask yourselves, who are the women today devalued by our political decisions or economic practices? Who are the children today that are ignored because of our spiritual paradigms or our utilitarian structures? And then consecrate your God-given gifts to bring these people abundant life. Ask who the people are that we've decided not to listen to, not to hear their testimony, not to believe that their dignity is worth our attention, and consecrate your time in hearing them, in listening to them, and in working for ways that bring them new hope. So yes, let us consecrate these gifts today. But remember, tomorrow when you wake up, the good news is still the same. God has made each of you a steward of God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is on earth, and it is living through you. May you wisely distribute the gifts of God in ways that bring abundant life to every person without exception. Amen.